thing. Hit us up and let us know. You can reach us on our COVID hotline at 202-382-7664. That's 202-382-7664. My name is Nikki Strong, and this is VOA 1 The Hits.
Welcome to Learning English on the Voice of America. I'm Katie Weaver. Today on the show, Alice Bryant brings us Ask a Teacher. And we close our program with an American story. Today, we hear the tall tale of Paul Bunyan. But first, most Americans welcome a fireworks show on July 4th, the nation's Independence Day. Many also enjoy them on New Year's Day and in private celebrations. As a nightly event, however, the explosions are not so well received. But that is exactly what Americans in many cities across the country have reported experiencing over the last several weeks. Some people are angry about the fireworks and want them to stop. Some want to know who is responsible and want them to stop. Some people are afraid of what the nightly explosions might mean and want them to stop. Julie Heckman is wondering herself. She leads the American Pyrotechnics Association, a fireworks industry trade group. Her industry had high hopes for 2020. Then came the COVID-19 crisis, with its closures and cancellations. That had people who sell fireworks worried that sales would be low. Those fears, however, have gone up in smoke. Sales are off the hook right now, Heckman said. She added that the industry is concerned about reports of fireworks use in cities where it violates local laws. New York City is an example. And the city's mayor, Bill de Blasio, has set up a task force to deal with the illegal activity. New Yorkers were among the first in the country to report the late-night noise. Many are losing sleep. One child was reported injured by an explosion this week. This is a real problem. It is not just a quality of life problem and a noise problem, de Blasio said. The task force will carry out operations to try to stop the sales of the explosives. The group is made up of police, firefighters, and the Sheriff's Bureau of Criminal Investigation. Other officials express similar concern. New Jersey Governor Phil Murphy said there are too many reports of fireworks being set off across the state. This is no way to blow off steam, he told reporters recently in Trenton, the capital. Officials in Oakland, California, also report receiving more complaints of illegal fireworks and reports of celebratory gunfire than usual this year. At least 5 fires have been linked to fireworks since late May, officials said. And in Denver, Colorado, police seized 1,360 kilograms of illegal fireworks during a traffic stop. There are many different opinions about why fireworks have gotten so popular. Some social media users are posting messages that blame the government. Some of them suggest the police are setting off fireworks to intimidate people protesting police violence around the country. My neighbors and I believe that this is part of a coordinated attack on Black and brown communities by government forces, said writer Robert Jones Jr. in a Twitter post. His recent posts about the fireworks have been retweeted thousands of times. A video captured in New York appears to show fire department workers setting off the explosives outside their station. Pyrotechnics expert and company owner Mike Tochstein has a different explanation. Fireworks are used across the entire country for a full month leading up to the 4th of July, he said. There is a slight uptick, but I don't think it's anything more than people are stuck at home and, hey, look, fireworks are available. No matter who is responsible, the noisy light shows could last for some time. Many seasonal stores opened only this week. Tochstein predicts people will continue to buy fireworks in the days leading up to July 4th.
German chemical company Bayer has agreed to let an independent scientific team study the health effects of its popular weed killer, Roundup. Legal experts say the company hopes results of the study will prevent future lawsuits by people who claim the product is harmful. Bayer agreed Wednesday to pay as much as $10.9 billion to end legal cases brought by U.S. Roundup users who say the product gave them a form of blood cancer. But as part of the settlement agreement, Bayer had to find a separate solution aimed at limiting future claims without removing the product from stores. The company decided to take a risk that the scientific study will support its claim that the chemical glyphosate is safe for agricultural use. Glyphosate is the active ingredient in Roundup. Regulators worldwide have found glyphosate not to be carcinogenic. That includes the U.S. Environmental Protection Agency and the European Chemicals Agency. But the World Health Organization's cancer research arm found the weed killer to be a probable carcinogen in 2015. And since 2018, three U.S. juries who listened to scientific evidence from both sides during trial found that Roundup causes cancer. David Knoll is a law professor at Rutgers University in New Jersey. He told Reuters news agency that Bayer is taking a huge risk by doing this. He said the company hopes time can show that the science underlying the plaintiff's claims is bad. Many details of the proposal have not yet been released, and a final settlement must be approved by a federal judge. But the settlement plan calls for an independent team of scientific experts who will likely be chosen and agreed upon by both sides. The company will pay $1.25 billion to support the team's research, an amount that does not include any payments to settle future lawsuits. The scientific review process is expected to take at least 4 years. Findings by the team would be legally binding on Bayer as well as anyone who has used Roundup before Wednesday, but not developed cancer. If the scientific team finds glyphosate to be non-carcinogenic, those users could not bring legal action. If the team does find glyphosate causes cancer, however, Bayer could face many new lawsuits with possible damages decided at a later date. Bayer said Wednesday the lead plaintiff's lawyers have agreed to the plan. However, Reuters was not immediately able to reach those lawyers for comment. In the past, lawyers representing people who said Roundup gave them cancer have claimed Bayer manipulated scientific studies and misled the scientific community. Bayer denies those claims. Company officials on calls with reporters and experts said they were confident the scientific review would find Roundup safe. Scientific teams have been set up in other major cases involving mass plaintiffs against Bayer. But those cases were generally not part of a settlement process, legal experts said. Bayer's proposal was creative but risky and will likely face problems in court, said Adam Zimmerman, a professor at Loyola Law School in California. The experts said many details of the proposal remain unclear. One unknown is whether people who have not yet gotten sick could give up their rights to a future lawsuit under the plan. I'm Brian Lynn.
This week, we answer a question about three similar sounding terms. Our listener, Suri, writes,
Hi.
I want to know the meaning of through, throughout, and go through. Hello, Suri. Let me begin by talking about through and throughout. Both can be used as prepositions or adverbs. Today, I will explain their uses as prepositions. Both words can relate to space or time depending on how they are used. I will talk about space first. Through means moving from one side or end to another side or end of something. For example, you can say the train went through the tunnel. That means it went in one side of the tunnel and out the other side. Through can also mean within a place or within a piece of land, air, or something else. For example, you can say, I walked through the park. That means you walked within the park. Throughout means in every part of a place or thing. You can say, there were pretty flowers throughout the park. That means every part of the park has pretty flowers. You can also say, people throughout the United States have wonderful accents. An easy way to think of the difference between through and throughout is this. Through generally suggests motion. Throughout generally describes a place or location. Now let's think about how these words relate to time. Through suggests moving toward the completion or end of something. For example, the sale goes through the end of June, means the sale will continue or last until the end of June. Throughout means during an entire situation or period of time. For example, we heard birds singing throughout the day means we heard them all day long. And finally, we turn to the term go through. Go through is a phrasal verb with several meanings, yet most are not related to the meanings of through and throughout. But there is one meaning that relates in a small way: to examine something carefully. I can say, I went through all of the papers and found what I was looking for. This meaning of go through suggests moving through something, in this case, the papers. For other meanings of go through, you can use an online dictionary such as the Merriam-Webster Learner's Dictionary. That's all for Ask a Teacher this week. I'm Alice Bryant.
And now, our American Stories program.
Today, we tell a traditional American story called A Tall Tale. A Tall Tale is a story about a person who is larger than life. The descriptions in the story are exaggerated, much greater than in real life. This makes the story funny. Long ago, the people who settled in undeveloped areas in America first told tall tales. After a hard day's work, people gathered to tell each other funny stories. Each group of workers had its own tall tale hero. Paul Bunyan was a hero of North America's lumberjacks, the workers who cut down trees. He was known for his strength, speed, and skill. Tradition says he cleared forests from the northeastern United States to the Pacific Ocean. Some people say Paul Bunyan was the creation of storytellers from the middle western Great Lakes area of the United States. Other people say the stories about him came from French Canada. Early in the 20th century, a writer prepared a collection of Paul Bunyan stories. They were included in a publication from the Red River Lumber Company in Minnesota. It is not known if the stories helped the company's sales, but they became extremely popular. Here is Shep O'Neill with our story about Paul Bunyan.
Many years ago, Paul Bunyan was born in the northeastern American state of Maine. His mother and father were shocked when they first saw the boy. Paul was so large at birth that five large birds had to carry him to his parents. When the boy was only a few weeks old, he weighed more than 45 kilograms. As a child, Paul was always hungry. His parents needed 10 cows to supply milk for his meals. Before long, he ate 50 eggs and 10 containers of potatoes every day. Young Paul grew so big that his parents did not know what to do with him. Once, Paul rolled over so much in his sleep that he caused an earthquake. This angered people in the town where his parents lived, so the government told his mother and father they would have to move him somewhere else. Paul's father built a wooden cradle, a traditional bed for a baby. His parents put the cradle in waters along the coast of Maine. However, Every time Paul rolled over, huge waves covered all the coastal towns. So his parents brought their son back on land. They took him into the woods. This is where he grew up. As a boy, Paul helped his father cut down trees. Paul had the strength of many men. He also was extremely fast. He could turn off a light and then jump into his bed before the room got dark. Maine is very cold for much of the year. One day, it started to snow. The snow covered Paul's home and a nearby forest. However, this snow was very unusual. It was blue. The blue snow kept falling until the forest was covered. Paul put on his snowshoes and went out to see the unusual sight. As he walked, Paul discovered an animal stuck in the snow. It was a baby ox. Paul decided to take the ox home with him. He put the animal near the fireplace. After the ox got warmer, his hair remained blue. Paul decided to keep the blue ox and named him Babe. Babe grew very quickly. One night, Paul left him in a small building with the other animals. The next morning, the barn was gone, and so was Babe. Paul searched everywhere for the animal. He found Babe calmly eating grass in a valley, with the barn still on top of his back. Babe followed Paul and grew larger every day. Every time Paul looked, Babe seemed to grow taller. In those days, much of North America was filled with thick green forests. Paul Bunyan could clear large wooded areas with a single stroke of his large, sharp axe. Paul taught Babe to help with his work. Babe was very useful. For example, Paul had trouble removing trees along a road that was not straight. He decided to tie one end of the road to what remained of a tree in the ground. Paul tied the other end to Babe. Babe dug his feet in the ground and pulled with all his strength until the road became straight. In time, Paul and Babe the Blue Ox left Maine and moved west to look for work in other forests. Along the way, Paul dug out the Great Lakes to provide drinking water for Babe. They settled in a camp near the Onion River in the state of Minnesota. Paul's camp was the largest in the country. The camp was so large that a man had to have 1 week's supply of food when walking from one side of the camp to the other. Paul decided to get other lumberjacks to help with the work. His work crew became known as the Seven Axe Men. Each man was more than 2 meters tall and weighed more than 160 kilograms. All of the axemen were named Elmer. That way, they all came running whenever Paul called them. The man who cooked for the group was named Sourdough Sam. He made everything, except coffee, from sourdough, a substance used in making sourdough bread. Every Sunday, Paul and his crew ate hotcakes. Each hotcake was so large that it took 5 men to eat one. Paul usually had 10 or more hotcakes, depending on how hungry he was. The table where the men ate was so long that a server usually drove to one end of the table and stayed the night. The server drove back in the morning with a fresh load of food. Paul needed someone to help with the camp's finances. He gave the job to a man named Johnny Inkslinger. Johnny kept records of everything, including wages and the cost of feeding Babe. He sometimes used 9 containers of writing fluid a day to keep such detailed records. The camp also was home to Sport, the reversible dog. One of the workers accidentally cut Sport in two. The man hurried to put the dog back together, but made a mistake. He bent the animal's back the wrong way. However, that was not a problem for Sport. He learned to run on his front legs until he was tired. Then he turned the other way and ran on his back legs. Big mosquitoes were a problem at the camp. The men attacked the insects with their axes and long sticks. Before long, the men put barriers around their living space. Then, Paul ordered them to get big bees to destroy the mosquitoes. But the bees married the mosquitoes, and the problem got worse. They began to produce young insects. One day, the insects' love of sweets caused them to attack a ship that was bringing sugar to the camp. At last, the mosquitoes and bees were defeated. They ate so much sugar, they could not move. Paul always gave Babe the Blue Ox a 35-kilogram piece of sugar when he was good, but sometimes Babe liked to play tricks. At night, Babe would make noises and hit the ground with his feet. The men at the camp would run out of the buildings where they slept, thinking it was an earthquake. When winter came, Babe had trouble finding enough food to eat. Snow covered everything. Ole, the blacksmith, solved the problem. He made huge green sunglasses for Babe. When Babe wore the sunglasses, he thought the snow was grass. Before long, Babe was strong and healthy again. One year, Paul's camp was especially cold. It was so cold that the men let their facial hair grow very long. When the men spoke, their words froze in the air. Everything they said remained frozen all winter long and did not melt until spring. Paul Bunyan and Babe left their mark on many areas. Some people say they were responsible for creating Puget Sound in the western state of Washington. Others say Paul Bunyan and Babe cleared the trees from the states of North Dakota and South Dakota. They prepared this area for farming. Babe the Blue Ox died in South Dakota. One story says he ate too many hotcakes. Paul buried his old friend there. Today, the burial place is known as the Black Hills. Whatever happened to Paul Bunyan? There are lots of stories. Some people say he was last seen in Alaska, or even the Arctic Circle. Another tradition says he still returns to Minnesota every summer. It says Paul moves in and out of the woods so few people ever know that he is there.
And that's our show. Thanks for joining.